إن شاء الله مختصر درس أحاديثك. Brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers can come closer, إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله continuing with the chapter of باب التحريم الكبر والعجب the chapter in which Imam Nawawi رحمه الله has brought those ahadith which emphasize the prohibition of takabbur arrogance, pride and عجب self-conceit regarding oneself to be special. So one is arrogance. Arrogance is where I think of myself as better than others, in any way, shape or form. And because of this, I look down on others. And self-conceit, which is called ujb in Arabic, is where I regard myself as special. It doesn't necessarily mean that I look down on others, but I myself regard myself to have something good inside of me. And when I say good inside of me, it means intrinsically. That's my own thing. I am special in a certain way. So both of these things are haram. And they're both haram and they're both from the major sins because a person should never ever attribute any goodness to themselves. Any goodness that you have inside, anything of beauty, anything of goodness, any talent, any ability. The fact that we've all come to the masjid and performed Isha Salah, whereas there are millions of Muslims not performing Isha Salah at all, leave alone in the masjid. And then there are millions performing at home and not in the masjid. So the fact that I performed Isha Salah in the masjid, if I think because of that, it makes me special, that is haram and a major sin. Because it was nothing to do with me. It was Allah Ta'ala who gave me the ability. So that's why in each and every single thing, tawadu, the opposite of takabbur, tawadu should be the quality or the identity of a Muslim. That nothing is mine. I have nothing special, nothing good. Everything which you see inside of me good or special or worthy of approval is Allah's favor, Allah's kindness, Allah's sattari. It's called Allah's sattari. Allah has covered all of my weaknesses and flaws and you are only seeing the things that look nice. If you were to see the ugly things about me, you people would have thrown stones at me and sent me far away. But because Allah has covered my faults and Allah has covered my weaknesses, and only the nice things of me can be seen upon me, now you people regard me as something special. Nothing to do with me. That's one of Yaqub Nanuthi rahmatullahi, one of the early scholars, great scholars of India. Someone wrote a letter to him saying, Shaykh, I miss you so much. I wish I can come and see you. I wish I can visit you. He said, I tell you the truth about me. It would be better if you forgot me. It would be better for you if you forgot that I existed. I would think it's better for you never to write a letter to me ever again. Because I'm not worthy of your good companionship. Find someone else, everybody else is better than me. So that person wrote a letter with love, but this scholar is saying that, why are you writing to me? There is nothing good that I can offer you. So this is the level that the pious people would regard themselves to be. Like, there's nothing special. Don't approach me. Go to somebody else. And when, you know, this is tawadu, humility. And humility, being humble and not having takabbur, benefits a person even in worldly things. Even in worldly matters, a person benefits. You avoid arguments. You avoid, you know, family conflicts. You avoid feeling jealous towards others. You avoid enmity towards others. So many benefits even in worldly matters. And in terms of ukhrawi matters, matters of the hereafter, tawadu is a must and a necessary quality in the life of every Muslim. But sadly, it's one of the qualities which are missing from the life of most Muslims and most of us. It's such a hard thing. Like I mentioned last week, naturally, Shaykh Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani rahmatullahi says, naturally, a human being's nature is created and there's a sense of greatness in it. It's a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality, of Allah's kibriya. Allah is the great, Allah is the mighty. So the human being is a reflection of Allah's qualities. Allah is ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, ar-Ra'uf, al-Kareem, most merciful, most loving, most affectionate. So human being has a reflection of these things. So similarly, Allah is al-Kabir, al-Jabbar, al-Qahhar, the mighty, the powerful, the great. So a human being has these elements of these qualities, but it is necessary on every human being to quell those and, you know, quench those and remove those. We're not allowed to feel this. We're not allowed to regard ourselves to be superior in any way, shape or form. It's haram. It's a test for us. It's a test for us. You know, the fact that I feel myself to be better than someone is a test for me. I need to stop this. I can't allow myself to have this feeling. Every Muslim is better than me. Like Hazrat Ali rahmatullah used to say, I regard myself to be worse than all the Muslims at this moment in time. Every Muslim on the face of this earth is better than me. Halan, at this moment in time. And ma'alan, in terms of future, I regard myself to be worse than every non-Muslim as well. Because maybe in the future, a non-Muslim will become Muslim, and then he will also become better than me. So I'm basically the worst. And he said, I sincerely, you people can think whatever you want, that's genuinely what I regard about myself. Imagine if a person has that level, then if someone harms them, someone hurts them, they'll always smile at everything. They'll always overlook others. And this is a key quality of Islam. All the ahadith we read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A true Muslim is the one from whose hand and from whose tongue other Muslims are always safe. Always. La yadkhulu al-jannata man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. That person will not enter Jannah whose neighbors are not safe from his harm. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you is a true believer until you love for someone else what you love for yourself. When would you love for someone else what you love for yourself? When you regard them to be superior to yourself. But when I look down on others, I don't want him to have the same thing. I want the better thing. He can have something. Because I don't give him any importance. But if I say this person is better than me, more important than me, more precious than me, then you should have the better thing. I will have the simple thing. So all of the ahadith of Islam that we read and all the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of hadith, it is impossible to bring them fully into our lives without this quality of tawadu' and humility. When you regard yourself to be the lowest and the lowliest and the worst, and you regard everyone to be better than yourself, and everything good in your life, you say, oh Allah, you are so kind, I was so wretched, but you still give me so much. I was so worthless and so useless, but you still give me so much. Oh Allah, you are so kind, I don't know what to do because of your kindness. It makes me rush to salah, to the masjid. It makes me stay away from every single sin. How can I disobey my Allah who is so kind, that someone so useless and worthless like me, my Allah gave me so much, how can I disobey that Allah? If I was privileged and entitled and then Allah gave me something, that's different. I was not privileged, I was not entitled, I was not deserving, I was not worthy. Still Allah gave me and Allah gave me and Allah gave me. How can I disobey that Allah? How can I disobey Him? It's not possible. Because I was not entitled, I didn't deserve. So if for one second Allah says, you weren't even privileged, I gave you Iman, you're not going to value it, I'll take it away and give it to some disbeliever. So easy for Allah Ta'ala. So this chapter is very, very important. We'll go through some ahadith. وعن سلمة بن الأكوع رضي الله عنه أن رجلا أكل عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بشماله فقال كل بيمينك قال لا أستطيع قال لا استطعت ما منعه إلا الكبر قال فما رفعها إلى فيه رواه مسلم. سيدنا سلمة بن الأكوع رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماته کہ ایک شخص نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے نزدیک اپنے بائیں ہاتھ سے کھایا تو نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ دایاں ہاتھ سے کھایا کر, مطلب دایاں ہاتھ سے, رائٹ ہینڈ سے کھاؤ. اس شخص نے جواب دیا, لا استطیع, میری طاقت نہیں ہے, میں نہیں کر سکتا, میں دایاں ہاتھ سے نہیں کھا سکتا. نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جواب دیا کہ تو کبھی بھی نہیں کھا پائے گا دایاں ہاتھ سے, کبھی بھی نہیں کر سکے گا. ما منعہ الا الکبر, پھر صحابی فرماتے ہیں کہ اس شخص کو یہ جواب صرف تکبر کی وجہ سے اس کے منہ سے نکلا کہ میں نہیں کر سکتا, ایک چیز میری عادت بن گئی, میں نہیں تبدیل کروں گا, اپنی عادت عادت ہی رہے گا. حالانکہ مسلمان کو ہر وقت اپنے ہر عمل کو سنت اور شریعت کے مطابق لانے کی 100% کوشش کرنا فرض ہے. میں پوری زندگی ایک عمل ایک طرح کر رہا تھا, ابھی مجھے پتہ چل گیا کہ یہ غلط طریقہ تھا, نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی طریقہ کچھ اور تھا, آج سے مجھے اپنے عمل کو چینج کرنا ہے. اگر میں کہوں نہیں بھائی 40 سال سے میں اس طرح کر رہا تھا, ابھی کیوں اپنے عمل کو چینج کروں, تو اس کو کہتے ہیں تکبر. تکبر کہ تو زیادہ جانتا ہے یا اللہ کے, اللہ اور اللہ کے نبی زیادہ جانتا ہے, تو زیادہ سمجھتا ہے یا اللہ اور اللہ کے رسول زیادہ بہتر سمجھتے ہیں. لوگ کہتے ہیں کہ بھائی یہ سنت ہے, بھائی پوری زندگی میں اس طرح کر رہا تھا, یہ قرآن مجید کا حکم ہے, بھائی عادت بن گئی, بھائی اب یہ چینج کرنا بہت مشکل ہے. نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے بچوں کے پاس آئے تھے, نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو اللہ تعالیٰ نے بچوں کے پاس نبی بنا کے بھیجا تھا, یا بڑوں کے پاس یا اور بوڑھوں کے پاس, لیکن وہ لوگ رات ہی رات, دن ہی دن کے اندر اپنے اعمال کو پورے طور پر تبدیل کر لیے اور اسلام اور شریعت اور قرآن اور حدیث کے طرز پر لے آئے. بڑے بوڑھے, نابینے جی اور معذور, سب ہی سب ایک ہی لمحے کے اندر انہوں نے کہا نہیں بھائی, جو ہم کر رہے تھے پرانی طرز پہ غلط تھا, آج ہی سے ہم چینج کریں گے. سیدنا سلام ابن اکوا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ narrates that a person, he ate in front of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم with his left hand. Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said to him, eat with your right hand. The person said, لا استطيع, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it, meaning I've never done it before, I've always been eating with my right hand. Some people have the habit, always drinking with the right hand, eating with the left hand. When they wear their shoes, I've seen so many people wear their shoes, they always put their left shoe in first. Anything, you know, wearing clothing, start from the left side, whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always start from the right side, always right shoe first, right side of clothing first, entering the house with the right foot first, entering the masjid with the right foot first, leaving the masjid, leaving the house with the left foot. These are sunnahs. Entering the toilet with the left foot, leaving with the right foot. These sunnahs we think are small, but they're not. They're very important, very significant. I always mention the story of Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi alayhi shaykh Ahmad Sarhindi. When he was a very old man, and he went to lie down in his bed, and he had helpers and people who had to help him lie down, but they put him down straight onto his back. And when he lied down, he was obviously, you know, when you're very old and it's very difficult to get out of bed once you've laid down, he thought to himself, this is against the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ always started with his right side. Later on, you can change your position, but you must start on the right side. This is the sunnah. All his helpers had gone, his attendants had gone. With a lot of difficulty, he got up again. With a lot of difficulty, he lay down again on his right side. That night in a dream, he saw Rasulullah ﷺ. That, O Ahmad, just as you have honored my sunnah, that's how I will honor your family. And Shaykh Ahmad Sarhindi became Mujaddid al-Fithani, the reviver of the second millennium, one of the greatest scholars that India has ever produced. His sons, Shaykh Khaja Masoom, his Khulafa, his students, the whole of India was revolutionized by his family. If you study his family's life, you see each child was, you know, like each son would seem to be more stronger and more greater and more spiritually connected with Allah Ta'ala than the father. You know, normally what happens, there's like a decrease, isn't it? Or like the father's a great scholar, but the son's not such. He's people will say he's not like his dad. It's like the son is greater, and then the grandson is even greater, and the great-grandson is even greater. All of them, for good 200, 300, 400 years in India, they're, you know, spiritual people spiritually benefited from them. And this small action, he lay down on his right side because he said, this is Allah's Nabi's sunnah, I cannot do it any other way. So this person said, I can't do it, I'm used to eating with my left hand, I can't do it. That's what he said, I can't do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lasta ta'ata, you will never be able to do it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so loving, so affectionate, so merciful, kana bil mu'mineena rahima, so merciful towards the believers. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this quality of takabbur, arrogance, ingrained in this man. Arrogance is the destruction of a person. Why was Shaitan Iblis destroyed? Because of his arrogance. Ana khayrun minhu, I am better than him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed the arrogance in this man. He said, you won't be able to do it. Arrogance does not get you anywhere. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar, pious saint of Allah, he had a student. And that student was from, you know, some, you have all types of students in madrasas, in khanqas that go to the pious people to benefit. Some people are understand the discipline, the etiquette, and some people come from a very privileged background. So this person was from a very privileged background. 20 years he stayed with Junaid Baghdadi. One day he said, oh Junaid, I don't think I've taken any benefit from you. He said, I don't think I've taken any benefit from you. I've been staying with you for 20 years, but I don't feel any different. That's what he said. Junaid Baghdadi took one good look at him, and he realized that the only thing preventing this person from benefiting was his self-esteem, and he regarded himself as something special, and his arrogance. This was his barrier that was stopping him from benefiting from one of the greatest scholars of his time. Junaid Baghdadi said, I know the solution to your situation. He said, I want you to go to the door of the masjid, sit there with a big basket of almonds, of walnuts, and every time someone comes into the door of the masjid, give them a shoe and say, every time you smack me on my head with the shoe, I will give you a walnut. He said, when the basket is emptied, then come back to me and you will see you'll be fine. The person said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, I can't do that. It's impossible for me. Junaid Baghdadi said, this La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is the kalima that a person reads to become Muslim. You've read this and you have rejected taking any form of spiritual benefit in your life because of your arrogance. Get out from my sight, I don't want to see you ever again. Takabbur, arrogance, is the greatest hurdle that a person has between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can wear the jubba, you can have the beard, you can have the amama, you can read 5 times salah, but in your heart, if you have this arrogance, the Shaykh al-Hadith Allama Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi says that in the sight of Allah you will be worse than the lowest level Muslim, the one who doesn't read any salah. You'll be worse than him because of the fact that you think you're something special because you read salah. Many a pious person has been destroyed. Many a pious person has been destroyed because of his own arrogance, and he doesn't even realize. He'll only find out in the akhirah. Allah protect us. So it's very scary. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is saying, the person said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll never be able to. If arrogance, takabbur, remember when the Sahaba gave bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahaba would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would take his hand in bay'ah, allegiance. Then they would say, bay'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sam'i wa ta'a fil manshati wal makra. That we pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we will always listen to him and we will always obey him, whether it's according to our desires or whether it's not according to our desires. If we feel like doing it or whether we don't feel like doing it. Nowadays we practice Islam when we feel like it's easy. But if there are things that are difficult for us to do, it's difficult. Can't be bothered. The Sahaba took the Pledge of Allegiance, whether we like it, whether we don't, whether it's comfort zone for us or not comfort zone for us, we will always listen and always obey Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever, because they realize, even though I've lived 40 years of my life, and as I was saying in Urdu now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a children, you know, someone says, you know, I've always eaten with my left hand. I've always been drinking with my left hand. I've always been putting my shoe on my left foot first. Always. I've got a habit. I've always dressed like this, behaved like this, acted like this, 20, 30, 40 years. Now you're telling me I need to change? How am I going to do that? I was saying in Urdu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was he sent to small children. Small children, you can make them change quite easily. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to adults and old men and grown-ups. But they themselves, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, overnight they changed. Because they realized that whatever we were doing, whatever, in whichever form of life we were doing, was wrong. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us is the best way to do this. There's no doubt about it. Like in Tabligh they say, isn't it? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke tariqe par so fisad kamyabi hai. In the following the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leads you to 100% success, ہر دوسرا راستہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے طریقے چھوڑ کر اس میں 100% ناکامی ہے. Every other path of, apart from the path of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is 100% failure. That's what they say in Tabligh, right? That's why we go out to gain this. This is what the Sahaba felt. When they would be mocked, this is what you're doing? What's happening to you? Why are you doing this? So weird, so strange. Like how people will mock us, it's so strange, why did you do that? They would get so happy. They say, you're mocking me, but I have found the pleasure in following the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've realized that this is a success of my life in following the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَا رَفَعَهَا إِلَىٰ فِيهِ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this person said, I can't do it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will never be able to. فَمَا رَفَعَهَا إِلَىٰ فِيهِ. This person was never able to raise his right hand towards his mouth ever again. Meaning his right hand became paralyzed, as a form of a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the right hand becoming paralyzed is still good, if Allah ta'ala kept his iman with him. Imagine the disobedience of Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient for iman to be taken away. Paralysis, body, something happening, this is still better than your iman being taken away. So this was a wake-up call and a lesson for him. Never ever let takabbur, arrogance, become a barrier and a hindrance between you and between obeying a command of Allah or his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll do one or two more hadith inshaAllah. وَعَنْ حَادِثَةَ بْنِ وَهْبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَهْلِ النَّارِ كُلُّ عُتُلٍ جَوَّازٍ مُسْتَكْبِرٍ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَتَقَدَّمَ شَرْحُهُ فِي بَابِ ضَعَفَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. سیدنا حارثہ ابن وہب رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ روایت فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے سنا نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو ارشاد فرماتے ہوئے کیا میں تمہیں جہنم والوں کے بارے میں بتلاؤں, جہنم والوں کے, جہنم کے میں کون سے لوگ جائیں گے, کن صفت والے لوگ جہنم میں جائیں گے. پھر نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کل عتل, ہر عتل بخیل شخص, ہر بخیل شخص, جواز جو بہت سخت مزاج والا ہو, جو بہت سخت مزاج والا ہو, اور مستکبر, تکبر اس کے اندر ہو. تین چیزیں, تین صفت. پہلی صفت تو بخل, اور دوسری صفت سخت مزاج, بہت گرم مزاج, بہت سخت, لوگوں کے ساتھ نرمی برتاؤ نہیں کرتا, اور تیسرا صفت تکبر جس شخص کے اندر ہو. یہ تین گروہ جہنم والے ہوں گے. اللہ تعالی ہماری حفاظت فرمائے. سیدنا حارثہ ابن وہب رضی اللہ عنہ narrates, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, should I not inform you of the people of Jahannam? Who will the people of Jahannam be? This hadith has passed previously in different chapter. The chapter where the virtues of the weak Muslims are mentioned. You know, those who are poor, those who are weak, those who are looked down on and overlooked. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of Jahannam will be every miserly person, stingy person. Jawaz, every harsh person. You know, very difficult. He's not soft, he's not lenient, he's not easygoing, but he's very harsh. And mustakbir, arrogant person. Meaning these are going to be the overarching qualities of the people of Jahannam: stinginess, harshness, and arrogance, takabbur. So this takabbur, this is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith here. Also miserliness, harshness. Generally, these are qualities of people who regard themselves to be superior to others. And people who regard themselves to, I don't have much. These people are always easygoing, always very nice and easygoing. And they don't look down on others, because why would they? And people who Allah has blessed with a lot of things of dunya, whether it's wealth, whether it's respect, whether it's high position, high status, these people feel that you don't have what I have. So then they look down on those who don't have that. So many of our scholars, subhanAllah, those that we look up to and those who we studied with and those who we read about, they would not like to stay with rich people. Shaykh al-Hind, Allama Mahmud al-Hasan rahmatullahi alayhi, when he would be with rich people and people of, very high kind of ahlul tharwa, people of high privileges and wealth, he would become nervous and he would shake. He wouldn't know how to deal with them, interact with them. And when you would put him with the poor people, the beggars, the poor people, and especially students of madrasa who didn't have much money, nothing, he'd be so happy that I'm at home with these people. And the wealthy people, he would get very, agitated, and he wouldn't know how to deal with them. And his ustad, Allama Qasim Nanwati rahmatullahi alayhi, he would say, तब मुझे मेरे नज़दीक तो गरीब लोगों की, आम लोगों की बैतुल खला में भी ज़्यादा बरकत है. तो इन माई आईज द पोर पीपल्स टॉयलेट्स, वी टॉकिंग अबाउट इंडिया हियर, राइट? Have you been to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and the toilets outside where you go inside and the flies go straight into your face? He would say, in my eyes, there is barakah and blessings even in using the toilets of the common folk. The toilets of the rich people are going to be clean and beautiful and perfumed. But the fact that when you go in there, you're going to feel like, wow, this is nice. You've seen it, right? You go to a 5-star hotel, even when you enter the bathroom, you're like, wow, this is such a nice bathroom. Such a nice toilet, so enjoyable. You know, this sense of self-pleasure that a person feels, or happiness that the nafs feels, they would hate that so much, because the nafs' job is not to please it and give it pleasure. The nafs' job is to pressure it. And using the toilets of the common folk is more in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit like this and eat bread. He would sit like this and he would eat. And when people would watch him, and he would say, "Akulu kama akulu abd." I sit like a servant sits. The way that is most pressuring upon the nafs, that my nafs is going to feel like I can't even affect this person. Because what the nafs wants you to do is to make you rise higher. Be special, look special, act special. You know, show yourself to be something special. The Prophet ﷺ always did the opposite. One of the best examples in Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, when the Prophet ﷺ had conquered Makkah. Now imagine, Muhammad ﷺ had to flee from Makkah in the middle of the night. Because if the enemy found out, they would have attacked him, they would have killed him. And when he returned, 10 years later, he was at the head of an army of 10,000 soldiers. Such a huge army, very rarely had anyone ever seen an army like this in the entire Arabian Peninsula. He should have had his chest like this. Look what you did to me and look at me today. It's such a natural thing. Such a natural thing. But the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba say, was so stooped over his horse that you could barely see him. He kept his head like this, just so that no degree of takabbur, arrogance, ounce of it came into his heart. And secondly, the dealings, the people who humiliated you, today is the prime time to humiliate them. Because many of those chiefs, leaders, same people who are alive, the people who killed his beloved uncle Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, were right there in front of him. But the Prophet ﷺ said, today is a day of mercy. Rather, one Sahabi, he said, الْيَوْمَ يَوْمُ الْمَلْحَمَةِ, today is a day of blood. The Sahaba felt it, you know, this anger, that what you people did to us all these years, today we can take revenge. Nabi ﷺ said to the Sahaba, take the flag off this person, he can't carry the flag. We don't want that mindset. Give the flag to his son. الْيَوْمَ يَوْمُ الْمَرْحَمَةِ, today is a day of mercy. This can only emanate from someone who has that quality of tawadu. It doesn't matter. Whatever's happened, forgive, overlook. Forgiveness and overlooking and, you know, forgiving other people only happens when you don't regard yourself to be very special. If I am very special to myself, if someone hurts me, I can't forgive it. You hurt me. You offended me. Me. You know? Me, you hurt me. How can I forgive that? What you did to me? When someone has no importance of themselves, it's okay. This is how it works, isn't it? When you've got no self, you know, special important position for yourself, you say, it's okay, it's fine, don't worry about it, forget it, it doesn't matter. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed, it's okay. Everybody was forgiven, even the killers of his beloved uncle, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, they were all forgiven, everybody was forgiven. This was the greatest lesson of tawadu, humility, that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can see and displayed. Otherwise, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's humility was in every single action of his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we all ready to try to create this quality inside of us? Allah ta'ala, make us all sincere, real. Realize, Jannah, we will only attain with sincerity. Jannah is not attained with hypocrisy, showing off, doing things for other people. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَخْلِصْ دِينَكَ يَكْفِيكَ الْعَمَلُ الْقَلِيلُ. Make your religion sincere. Do everything only for the sake of Allah, then just a few good deeds will be enough for you. But you do lots and lots of things, but they're showing off and bragging, and you want people to like you, and you want to please people, and you want this person to say good about you. Nothing will exist on the day of Qiyamah. You'll be empty. أَخْلِصْ دِينَكَ يَكْفِيكَ الْعَمَلُ الْقَلِيلُ. Make your deen sincere. Do everything for the sake of Allah. Just a few good deeds will be enough for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Subhanallah, subhanakallah.